team for the end zone, and Jefferson, touchdown Minnesota.
There is McCaffrey, right side, breaks the tackle, good shot, move, gets it.
NFL DFS fans, welcome back to Touchdowns for Doe. Thanksgiving week, how quickly has this come around? It has absolutely flown by. Can't believe we are on this week already, but this is one of my favourite weeks of football. Mark, Jack, Welcome back, fellas. Week 11, kind to you? Mean to you?
Yeah, week 11 was good to me. I had a took down another GPP on Friday night, in a different sport completely. But we won four figures, so that was nice. And then, the NFL slate was kind to me as well on the Sunday. Really, I had a lot of the Kyler stacks and a lot of Purdy stacks, so it worked out quite nicely. I sort of doubled my money really on the Sunday. It was a good week all round.
Nice.
I had a lot of A-Chain, a lot of, Aaron Jones and Curtis Samuel. So I don't think I need to explain how my weekend went really on a DFS front. Fantastic everywhere else. Brilliant. But, you know, playing with a six-player lineup, you're not really going to do too well, are you?
No.
It did feel partway through Sunday because there was a lot of players that were going down injured and there was obviously Curtis Samuel with the ejection. It felt like I tweeted about. It feels like a bit of a war of attrition this week. Like the kind of survival of the fittest. If you get all of you guys over the line come the end of the slate, you've got a chance. I was originally on Rondale Moore and pivoted to Curtis Samuel. So stick to your guns there. I know Rondale Moore didn't go off, but he did the damn sight more than what Curtis Samuel did come the end of the day. And the early slate, though, I was in the cash and dropped out of the cash. I played the late slate because I wasn't that confident that I could stay in the cash. And I was this close to playing Shakur and didn't play him. But there you go.
He was actually strategy talk. He was a really good pivot off of the chalky Rondale Moore down there. There were similar prices. Always a pathway for him getting there. He's been seeing like 60% of the snaps over the last few weeks as well for Buffalo. So it was a good pivot off of Rondale Moore down there. But yeah, it was a weird slate. I managed to avoid the A-Chain experience just because, I mean, it's never nice to see a player go down injured or anything, but I was so worried about a three-headed backfield there and I just avoided it. I think I put it in our group. I just said, I have no interest in it. Any one of them guys could have gone off and, you know, A-Chain can obviously break them big ones and go for 60 yards. But I just avoided that situation altogether. I did have a bit of Curtis Samuel though, Mark, and he was throwing punches with the Giants. And cheers, mate.
We were discussing that before the actual slate started, weren't we? So
we were, yeah. It was a good little sort of pivot off. I thought he'd see the Antonio Gibson role, to be honest. I thought they'd give him a lot of the pass catching work out of the backfield. But he decided that he wanted to throw a few punches. It's always a good idea to punch someone in a helmet, isn't it? Like that. But it was a good week all round. I can't complain. Process was right yet again. And I was just happy. I'm heating up at the right moment, I think. for especially this week. We've got monster slates this week. Thanksgiving, there's a game on Friday, and then a monster slate on Sunday. It's a good old week coming up here.
It is. It is. And your win on Friday, Jack, well, like you said, wasn't in the realm of NFL, but that's not your first bink when it comes to soccer. That's your second big win that you've had in the soccer pools.
He doesn't call that a big win, Nick.
I mean,
nah.
We're very much about strategy on this show, and I mean, we're going to dive into some stuff tonight about paid content and things like that. And I've got a bit of a story on the paid content side, but I play like most people out there, especially within the UK. And a lot of people may think I'm some sort of high roller who max enters everything, and because I've had my big win, and you know, I don't max enter everything. I'm a sort of a single entry, free max guy. That's how I play. Always have been, always will be. Even if I won the Milli Maker, I'd still be the same. And the way that I did it on Friday was just getting different. You're playing them soccer contests, so it was England versus Malta. Everyone's probably going to captain Harry Kane, or I don't know, Saka didn't start, did he? Foden, that was it. Everyone's going to probably captain Harry Kane or Foden because there's a massive pathway for them to get to absolute massive points. So I thought, you know what? England, good for a clean sheet in this game. Let's captain Harry Maguire. And, you know, Maguire goes up for corners and things like that. And then I just thought, I can't see Malta scoring in this game, so I'm just going to go on a heavy defensive 5-1 build England side. And that's what I've done. I played Trippier, I played Trent. And I mean, Trent has become a cheat code in soccer streets because he's a defender that plays in midfield. So he's seen all the set pieces and things like that. Trippier was on set pieces, so he was getting bits and pieces done there. I had Harry Kane, who scored the goal, and I just brought it back with some Malta scrub that played all the 90 minutes, and he got me 2 points, which was more than enough. That's the way I play, and I always say it each and every week. Don't be scared to get different. You have to teach your brain in DFS sometimes. If you play the way that we play, you have to teach your brain to get out of its comfort zone and do stuff that it doesn't want to do.
Yeah. Like, nobody wants to put Slabhead as captain, but like, and it's like when you took down the 10K, Jack, was it Kurt Zouma you had?
No, Rudiger. Antonio Rudiger.
Like, no one wants to put Antonio Rudiger as captain, but yeah.
He scores the first goal.
One night it comes off.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. You've got to get outside your comfort zone. You really do. Like, it's very hard to teach your brain not to go to the obvious choice. But
yeah,
I'd say 70 to 80% of that field are going to go to the obvious choice. And let's not forget, you're going up against guys that are max entering that contest as well. So you have to get different.
It's kind of like we always say, where you build that lineup where there's every chance it could come last. But
yeah,
there's also, if things go right for you, it's going to be that unique that it's going to come first, exactly. Or it certainly has a chance to. So, yeah. Sympathy shown for Mark's week, which is
he's had that lined up, I reckon.
He has. yeah, he's coming on here with his little snarky comments. Right, so let's. Paid content, Jack. You said you've got a little story there. So story time with Jack. Let's move on to that because we've got a packed agenda.
No, so in regards to paid content, there's a lot of, I pay for content. But I pay for content with guys that I respect. And I've always stated that on the show, that I think you should find people that you respect in the community. So for instance, I really respect Tambo, who's at Ship It Nation now. But I've always respected his work. I like the way he's like, Tambo's very good at breaking down like game theory in the game. And he breaks it down the way I break it down. It's like, if it's a slate, for instance, like last night with the Eagles, like no one wants to play the running backs, for example. Tambo would be like, right, well, let's captain the running backs, because then you're way different to the field. Like, you know, so I've always appreciated his work. He's very, especially with his golf stuff, like, you know, he's kind of like my way of thinking as well. Like the other week with the Justin Herbert and the Jared Goff game, the Lions and the Chargers, I saw all the ownership was going to the Jared Goff side. So I pivoted onto the Justin Herbert side, and that's the way Tambo would do it, because it's just like a, it's the same game environment. They're in the same dome, you know, there's still the same over under total of the game. So I've always respected someone like that. Obviously, we had Kurt on last week. I respect Kurt a lot. I like all of the niche sports that he does. But in regards to paid content, the story is a lot of these guys are max entering. So they're putting in 150 lineups into the Millimaker each week. So I don't think paying for that sort of content is necessarily like good for people, for 80% of people that play DFS, because they're all like us, single entry, free max, anything like that. That sort of content is more for the people that are 150 and maxing. I'm not saying it can't work. I've seen it work. But that's just kind of my theory, that I'm not against people that, like, I'm not against touts, as well, you know, this is the big thing going around in DFS now. I'm not against touts at all. What I am very against is touts that are not transparent. I think you really do need to be transparent if you're going to be in this game like that. But I also think you need to find the people that play like you. Again, hence why I really respect Tambo, because he has the same, his crazy brain and mind does the same thing that my crazy brain and mind do. So we're on the same wavelength, and I can get behind what he's doing. So I don't mind paying for that content. I know Mark wants to get onto some stuff about paying for tools rather than content, but Mark, I'll throw it over to you. That's what I wanted to get out there. If you're paying for content, you have to remember that these guys, that 90% of these guys that you're paying to are going to 150 max, and that's not how you play.
Yeah, I think there's a few things about this that came up. You know, we all listened to LOLs. I think a few weeks ago, one of the guests on air implied that he knows that touts don't always give out their best picks and plays because they don't want to do that and stuff. And then that turns into a debate of, like, you know, winnings versus earnings, etc., you know, from touting and stuff. I do have a story. I'll come to a dodgy story in a second. Just the thing about the paid content versus tools debate for me is this. Let's just use NFL as an example, because this is an NFL show. Forget someone like Kurtz on last week, who does amazing content for something like EuroLeague, which nobody does content for. But NFL, there is so much free content out there. So much free content. It is crazy. And if you're paying for a version of that content, what you're effectively paying for is the idea that the person you're paying can somehow predict the future more than the free content, in my view. So for me, I mean, you know, I don't use, as I've said many times before, I don't particularly use content for my own plays. I use it to try and understand how other people are going to play, because I think it's very important to me, for me, the way I play. I'm like Jack Cook's defenders in his football. I put the goalkeepers and the captains and stuff. You know, it's just you know, it's always a big joke and stuff. It's sort of just, I play slightly differently to Jack, which is why he hates it when I agree with him on stuff.
It's the feeling's mutual. We both hate that. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's just absolutely. It's despicable.
Yeah. we know what happens. It goes south very quickly.
Although I did play Maguire as a captain yesterday. Anyway,
it didn't help.
No. That's the only thing I'm saying. If people want to spend their money on stuff, they're absolutely fine and stuff. And what Jack's saying is actually a really good point. Is also, if you're paying for content, you got to understand, you're not paying to win. You're not paying for them to give you winners every week. You're kind of like, in theory, you're paying for them to give you a winner in a football NFL season once a season, which pays for all your other losses and stuff, aren't you? For that really big win and stuff. But also the other thing about that stuff, especially paid content as opposed to tools, is the other people who pay for it are getting the same content, they're getting the same information, and I don't know how you become different. Now, I've always personally, I mean, you know, we all know from chatting, we've at some point, all of us have had every single site going you know, paid for it, trialed it, etc., and all that. My personal view is I'd rather pay for tools rather than content. But equally, not everybody, you know, I get why somebody wouldn't want to do that and stuff. But that was my point with the. Remember, with all this content stuff, if you're not using tools, content, you're using that to make your plays. You're putting faith that person's predicting the future better than you can, or if it's a paid, better than a free. Yeah. And I'm talking about expensive sites here. I'm not talking about this. There's all sorts of sites that just charge barely a pittance and stuff like. But yeah, but tools are interesting. I think paying for tools, if you play enough, you have enough bankroll and stuff, I think is a really great thing, because it just allows you to make, if you make good lineups, it allows you to make more good lineups or slightly better lineups.
So I'm a member with the Solver at the minute, and I'm using a guy called Boomer's Projections. And I mean, we had a bit of a, I was just sharing with you guys the cash core. The cash lineup each week, each day, sorry, about just over a week ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For NHL, and we had cashed 7 nights in a row, I think. So I was basically paying for the projections, which, you know, I can't do projections for NHL. I can barely do them for NFL or anything like that, but NHL is a completely different matter. But I like, and the Solver allows me to do that. I can put the projections in and go bang, and there's the optimal lineup, which is great for cash games. And like I said, we had a massive hit rate without for a whole week. So that's what I'm doing at the minute in regards to tools, which again, it all ties in nicely. That's why I, you know, with the guys that I respect, I'm more than happy to pay for guys that I respect to be a part of their community, their Discord chat and things like that. Because it's the same like-minded people around. That's what I'm quite happy to pay for. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, sorry, I was going to say, at the end of the day, it's your money. Spend it on what you want.
Yeah, just spend it. We just, you know, we've been doing this for years and stuff. The other thing is we can kind of spot. So, you know, there's been lots of debate about the sort of screenshot marketing aspect of these sites and stuff.
Yeah.
So one site, my story here, a site which it's quite an expensive site. I think it's over $60, $70 a month, but you get, as well as all the content, you get optimizers as well. And they were doing a video saying, look, if you'd used our optimizer last week, you would have won $1 million. That was what the sort of story was in this video. And so they started this video, you would have won $1 million. So, you know, after a slate's happened, you can go back into the optimizer and you still optimize it based on the projections, the same information you had before the slate, yep. But it gives you the actual score as well, okay? There's nothing remotely dodgy about that. That's absolutely fine and acceptable. And so what they did on this video, where they were going to show you how clicking one button using their assists optimizer would have won you $1 million, they hit the button for the optimal lineup and it came up with one which projected at, say, 140 and actually scored 220. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Millie Maker, to win the Millie Maker, you would need 240, not 220. And then he said, okay, so all you had to do to win the Millie Maker was load our core lineup into your optimizer, because a lot of these sites with optimizers have these sort of preset plays. Then it runs a load of lineups. And he said, look, watch this. This would have won you a milli. So he preloads it. So hit this one button to preload. Starts the thing doing all its stuff, chatting away. Then it up pops on the screen the optimal lineup, which is going to win you a milli. Except it wasn't. It was still only 220, okay? Not the 240 required. So what the guy did was, they're in the middle of a conversation where this goes on, he just stopped sharing his screen, and he just went, okay, so on to week 7, or whatever it was, and, like, pretended that the previous 5 minutes hadn't happened. Now, this is happening on a YouTube video on a major website and stuff. And I literally, I was turned off after that. I don't, because they started talking about the next week and forgetting the previous 5 minutes of, like, hype about one click of a button, you would have won a milli and all this. Now, I suspect the guy just hit the wrong button or something, but, like, it would seem so shady to just pretend he wasn't doing it. So, yeah, they all do it. The screenshot marketing thing, I get it. I'm not a massive fan of it, but equally a bit weird if a site trying to sell you a service sent, you know, posted screenshots of losses. That would seem a bit weird, wouldn't it? And the people who subscribe, don't you, a lot of it comes from their communities when they get a win, and in the communities on then a lot of people don't sort of say, oh look, I subscribed, I'm paying you £70 a month and I'm losing. So I get it, I do get it. And I think it just comes down to, like you said, Jack, people spend their money however they want. God, we're not going to tell people how to do that. But just be wary that not everything is exactly as it seems with these sites.
You know, and like you said, like, just joining one of these sites and using all the content and things, and for starters, you've got to know how to use the tools and the content. That's a big one. There's no point in you buying these tools, these optimizers, these Run the Sims packages. There's no point in you buying these tools if you don't know how to use them. And there's, you know, for instance, tonight I've spent 2 hours going back over lineups. And people might call me some sort of weirdo, but
weirdo, Jack.
I am. I'm crazy, but. It's something I like to do. It's my hobby at the end of the day. But, you know, I can do that. And, you know, then I muck around with the Sims packages and the optimizer and things like that. It's because I know how to use them. If you don't know how to use them, these things are a complete waste of money. It's not just a case of going click the button and, oh, here's the optimal lineup for the week. It's not, you know, it's not that simple. It doesn't work like that. I just, like Mark says, be careful. I think there's a lot of good tout sites out there. You know, I like Mark said, we've been with them all. I think there's a lot of good ones out there. But there is some dodgy ones as well.
Yeah. I think you made a good point. I think it was last week, Mark, when we were talking about optimizers and we kind of touched on paying for tools, and you came out with a good quote, which was something like, optimizers don't help you build better lineups, they just help you build poorer lineups quicker, or something along those lines.
if you build bad lineups, they just help you build more of them quicker.
Yeah, so that kind of, like you've just said, Jack, they are good tools, but you've got to know how to use them. You can't just go on an optimizer, press build, and expect that lineup that it gives you is just going to be a cash lineup every time.
So, Nick, can I just you bring that up there? So I had someone come to me, DM me the other day. They know I've been using the Solver. Oh yeah, thanks, mate. I've just signed up for it. I won't call this person out. Like, you know, I was trying to help them as well. Thanks, mate. I've just signed up for the Solver. Now what do I do? Like, what buttons do I click for lineups? So I was like, mate, like, it doesn't work like that. And then there's me trying to, and I'm really bad at trying to explain things, as you both know. Like, I get in a grumpy mood at times, and I'm quite open to it. I do get in a grumpy mood, and I was just like, look, this is what you need to do. This is like, hit this button, but you need to sort all your stacks out, your player groupings, your things like that, and. It was like talking to myself, because it's just, but I've been there. I was there probably about 2 years ago with optimizers and things. I didn't have a clue how to use an optimizer, and you know, but a lot of these sites have videos and things that you can watch, and it'll show you how to do things. I think ETR do some content, don't they, Marco, where they show you how to use them, what they put into the optimizer to get their lineups and things like that.
Yeah, Save and Sim are very good at those educational videos as well.
Yeah, so there's loads of educational videos out there. I would urge anyone probably to go and watch them for 2 or 3 hours before they go and sign up to anything like this. But
definitely.
Yeah, I had that. Sorry, Nick, to butt in, but I did have that experience the other day with someone.
If people think that they sign up and they just hit the optimize button and they're going to be profitable, they send your money to me.
Yeah,
like you send your subscription to me. It's like, it just doesn't work like that.
No,
optimizers don't work like that. Projections aren't predictions either. So then, you know, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and like. Well, I mean, what is the Solver, $49.99? Is it just for the basic, like, to be able to use Solver? Like, that's 50 quid. If you're going to pay for that and not know how to use it, just deposit 50 quid into your DraftKings account. You've got nigh on $70 worth there that you can just start attacking contests and trying to win tickets and, you know, single entry contests. And that's probably pay for your DFS for a while with the way that you might play. And then start building your bankroll with it. You know, try and aim to build that 70 gradually. Don't necessarily just aim for a massive big splash. But going back to the transparency, there was a LOLs episode recently. I think it was is the guy that doesn't really play DFS anymore. He plays poker mostly. RBX80.
Yeah, RBX. Yeah.
And he made an interesting point just on transparency that you see a lot on social media where, oh, this guy's had another milli win and this guy's had another milli win. And you think, oh, my God, like these, they've won the milli again. And this like repeat milli winners and people that are winning it for the first time. And you're thinking, oh, my God, like so lucky. I'd love to win that. And we'd all love to win that. These people are max entering that weekly and have been for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, months, years, some of them. And RBX made an interesting point that he was on the brink of actually quitting as a DFS player. And then he had a couple of big wins that kind of broke him even. And by big wins, I'm talking six figures, broke him even, six figures, you know, bear that in mind. And then he has his milli win. And he said there was a point where he kind of like needed that milli win, like it had to come. And again, this is like, you see these wins on social media. We post our wins as well. We're like, I wouldn't say we're guilty of this because we do a little bit of victory lapping and stuff, but we also hold our hands up and say, listen, we've not had a good week. You know, we've all started the show by saying this was a bit of a shitter. Let's move on to this week. These are some of the things that we got wrong. But don't be kind of like lulled in and fooled by these people that are posting the wins all the time, because actually there's so many losses that come before that. Mass losses in some cases as well.
The thing with us as well, we're not offering out paid content. I think you need to be transparent 100% if you're giving out paid content. But at the same time also, if you wanted to, I could share every golf lineup I played with you over the last year. And you will see that I use the core that I put in my newsletter, each week. Yeah. I play the plays that I put down. And I play like you guys. Again, I don't 150 max. In golf, I just play two lineups. I play a cash lineup and a GPP lineup. That's it. And I give out that content in the newsletter each week. I could go back the whole week. So that's me being transparent. I'm using them plays. There you go. And that's what's happening.
I was gonna say, Nick, you're thinking about screenshotting. We have three different levels of screenshotters on this show, actually, because I barely screenshot anything. The only ones I've done have been that you versus me thing for a little bit of a laugh and a bit and a joke and all that. So I'm very extreme that way. I won't do my screenshots. Jack would screenshot on victory lap winning a toss of a coin before a game of Kaplunk.
Yes, I told you this the other day, Nick. I know you. It's when I finished fourth in that Euro League contest, didn't I? And you were like, "Oh, that's a nice bit of profit." I was like, "No, I was disappointed because I didn't win. I don't play to come second or third. I play to win, and I play to win in anything I do in life. That's it. That's the way my mindset is." So yeah, you're damn right. I victory lap when it hits. You are damn right. But I will also be transparent. And you know, for instance, tonight I shared three lineups I played on DraftKings last week. I shared them on the Twitter today, and you know, two of them were great. One was absolutely crap. I tried to get clever with Matthew Stafford, but there you go. But it was. I think I'm quite a transparent person like that. If I lose, I lose. That's it.
But I think with the, like you said, with the paid content as well, Matt, there's so much of that content out there that like you don't even need to go onto websites to find it. You could go on Twitter and type in hashtag NFLDFS and you would find so much content of people posting the picks. We do it. We post players that we like. We don't post like must players or you have to absolutely jam this player into your lineup, but we put guys out there who we like and will be in our considerations as well. So yes, it's your own money, you pay for what you want, but that kind of content is out there, which is why, well, I guess we're trying to encourage, you know, pay for the tools. If you know how to use the tools, they may be more useful for you. The other thing is, you know, like, if it's like even things like cheat sheets and stuff certain sites charge for, you can get those cheat sheets anywhere. Go on Fantasy Cruncher, which is one of the most reputable optimizers out there. They do cheat sheets every week for almost every sport, free cheat sheets. You can, anyone can go and look at them and start building the lineups around them. And in actual fact, last year when I was first starting to play college football DFS, that is, I actually got some of the players from that cheat sheet because I was like, do you know what? I don't know much about this, but I'm just going to pick this guy because he's nice and cheap. I'll jam him into a lineup. But the other thing on that as well, with the paid content, and I was reading online about this earlier, and it was a good point, which not that I'd not thought of it before, but when I saw it in black and white, I was like, do you know what? Yeah, that's right. These people, these touts, that are charging for all this content, as you said before, I don't know if it was Mark or Jack, they're max entering, you know, what, 150 lineups in contests and stuff where you might not be. But they're not making their money just from what they're charging you from membership on that site. They're making the, you know, they're aiming higher than that. They're aiming for them top 10%, you know, wins in contests and stuff. So, yes,
you've got to use that to your advantage. They're giving out them plays. That's what they're going to play. They're going to 150, probably have exposure to that core. I don't know, 60% of the lineups, they say. But you can use it to your advantage and go, right, I'm going to get different and go against them.
Yeah.
So you can use it to your advantage like that.
But as you said, Mark, they're not always going to give out all the players and certainly not how they're constructing lineups and stuff, because they're also in it to win money. You're paying money to them for information. They're giving you that information, but then they're also taking that money plus their own and using that to enter contests to win more money and max enter contests. So I think you've got to be kind of like wary of that domino effect as well, almost, where you know, you can go on Discord or Slack or Twitter, wherever the forum might be for that site, and you can see people winning. You know, there might be a couple of weeks in the season where you have really good weeks and you have winners and you post them on and you feel all really good and stuff. But then over a long period of time, like, has it actually been worth it when you add up all those subscriptions versus what you've won, the time you've put into that as well? Or were you better suited just using that money to try and build your bankroll up, enter contests? I think sometimes with DFS, the way you learn is by entering the contest. The best way to learn, enter the contest. And if you don't win, look at some of the lineups that finished near the top and what did they do differently and make notes. You know, try different things. Don't try the same thing. Don't be that kind of definition of insanity every time you enter a contest. This is what I'm going to do. You know, try different things if it's not working. But yeah, Mark, did you have a Sims tool experiment before we move on to game day?
I've been using, so there's this new type of contest level sim that came out this year, which is the one where it tries to predict what the lineups are in the DraftKings contest first, and then you can compare your, and there's a few of them out there now. I've tried all of them now, Stochastic, the Solvers Sim version, and also the Roto Grinders version. And I do not think it's made me a better player or not, which is weird because I always go on about, for me, the most important part of DFS is trying to understand what the opponent's doing. That's exactly what these sims are meant to be doing. As I said before, when I was talking about that site, again, with these sims, you can run them in retrospect using the same information you'd have beforehand. And what I've been doing is I've been going in and putting the top lineups in to the sim and seeing if it would give you results which would make you play that lineup before the slate. And almost every time it tells you they're not profitable. unprofitable lineups and stuff. So to get a lineup which is similar to these winning ones, you would never play them if you're using these sim products and stuff. Now, there'll be cases where that isn't the case, and of course there will, like with anything. I think the main point about these sims is, as with all of these projections and everything like that, they're all based on some sort of level of assumption. And I think when the assumptions go wrong or are directionally inaccurate, then I think these sims just accentuate that. And so just a little thing to say to people, I mean, the Solvers single lineup one is only $19 a month, and they've actually got a deal on right now.
There'll be loads of deals on. Black Friday deals.
What's that? So that works out about 15, 16 quid a month. You just do one line at a time. If you have a play with one of the things, have a play with that. I've been using it for 11 weeks and it hasn't given me any life-changing money particularly or anything like that. And as I say, using that one in particular, every time I put in the winning Millie Maker lineup, it came up as a unprofitable lineup. So a lot of work to be done there still. I actually quite like the Roto Grinders Sim Labs one just because of it gives you a different way to create your lineups. But as with all these things, I think if you need to be 150 max player, entry player, and you're paying for like the full optimizers and then the simulators that add into it, and those things start costing hundreds a month, and those are just not really, you know, accessible to most players. I found it interesting. I really thought these sims were going to be really good for me because they sort of mimic how I want to play. But they're just not there yet. But again, I'm not expecting anybody to predict the future of all the lineups and stuff.
We know that cannot happen in this sport or any other. And it's interesting, Mark, on that, because I guarantee that this week, even without putting it into a lineup thing, the lineup that won the Millie this week, the single entry hand-built lineup, would probably never get that from an optimizer.
No. You wouldn't.
He starts off by putting in a quarterback who most of us stack in our lineups. That's nothing new. It's nothing revolutionary. It's been in DFS for many years. We normally start, and your stack will be primarily quarterback and another player, sometimes two, sometimes three. We like the big stack. We spoke about that this year. He starts with Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy is a steady fantasy scoring quarterback this year. Multiple games where he scored over 20. Probably never going to get a ceiling of 35, 40 out of him, but he's pretty steady. You're talking, 15 to 25 points a week from him you're getting at the moment fairly consistently. And he puts him in his lineup and doesn't stack him with any San Francisco wide receivers or Christian McCaffrey, who's also like an additional wide receiver in that offense, which is an interesting theory, which we spoke about on the chat as well. The interesting theory, to start your lineup like that, because like you rightly said, Mark, the other day, you don't always know where the points are actually going to be in that offense because they spread the ball so much. One week it could be Kittle, it could be Ayuk, it could be Samuel.
I think CMC is probably he's safe. He's very safe.
Yeah. He's your most consistent play, absolutely. And I had a stack of McCaffrey because even when they air the ball out, he still scores points because he's an efficient runner.
Yeah.
But he also has a lot of work receiving out of the backfield as well, little screen passes and stuff like that. So interesting that he started his lineup like that because in theory, you probably wouldn't have thought to do it before this weekend and, try that 17 times over the season. Does that line up cash? And probably not, but it did last week for him.
I like it. You say, Nick, it wouldn't have come up in an optimizer or the sims or anything like that. You would never get that lineup. He's hand built it. It goes back to like my football lineup. No one would do that. No one captains defenders like a centre back. If they're going to captain a defender, they captain a right back or a left back because they might do a bit going forward and things like that. no one thinks to do that in football. I like what he done. He got really weird and unique with it, and fair play to him. Won $1 million.
The thing as well with it is, like, we say, you know, we say quite frequently, you can play quarterbacks on the run, normally where they have a rushing upside,
yeah,
which you don't really get from Brock Purdy. He rushes a little bit, but nothing massive. But you could have won the millie by stacking him with the likes of Kittle, because Kittle was he the top performing tight end this week? Ayuk has a good game. McCaffrey has a good game. You could have stacked him with any of them players and still won the millie if you'd have built the right lineup. You look at the ownerships as well. I don't know what the ownerships were on the likes of Ayuk. McCaffrey was, I think, he was a little bit lower because he was priced so expensive this week. Kittle was one of the most expensive tight ends, so he was probably a little bit lower owned because people don't like paying up for that position. But ownership aside, very, very few people would have actually just played Brock Purdy on their own. So straight away, that lineup's really, really unique. But you wouldn't have got that from any kind of optimizer, and I don't think any website, even the ones that you pay a fortune for, would have advised that going into this week as well, which just shows there's so many different ways you can win.
Yep, it works in the context of that slate. There was no outstanding running back scoring. The chalk wide receivers generally hit as well. And the way he had Shakir. Did he have Shakir in there?
Yeah, he had Shakir.
Yeah, so which was a, yeah. Which is 0.9% or whatever it was. So there you go. And I think the actual there's lots of people who did well by having a low owned stack, but then lots of chalk around it. But that's just because last week that's what worked last week.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily going to work this week.
Absolutely.
But I quite liked. I don't know what the fuss was about. I find it quite funny when people were sort of when they were like getting quite vicious about this guy lineup. It's like, you know, you can have a view on it, but just understand he's kind of laughing.
Well, it's like us, you know, we do the fantasy game day thing each week and we have our views and, you know, sometimes like I say, well, you know, I didn't like that part of the build, but it's very hard to criticise a lineup that's just frigging one the top, you know. It's...
Yeah. Except when Nick did.
Before we move on to fantasy game day, I just want to give a shout out to Matt Cullen, who's having a bit of a tough time at the minute. There is a GoFundMe page out there. I'll put a link on our Twitter handle. I've retweeted it on my own personal one already. I'm going to run
930 as we stand.
That's great. That's great news. Yeah. I'm going to run a DraftKings contest. I'm probably going to do it for Sunday now just because Thursday's coming around quite quickly. I've already got a couple of prizes that I'm going to give away. I'm trying to generate a few more. So the way you're going to get into that, I will share the link and things with you. But the way that you get into it is by donating into that GoFundMe page. And then the winner of the top three, I haven't quite decided yet. I need to get a list of all these prizes that I'm going to give away. But the winner of the top three will win some sort of prize.
Yeah, you beat me to it there, Jack, because I was going to... We want to make sure that we mention that at the end. The Twitter page for the GoFundMe link, I think we've all shared it, but
yeah,
at Lou Veens is where you can find it. LEWVENES on Twitter, at Lou Veens.
Oh, and shout out to Murph as well. If you want, he's running some eliminators for it, so if you want to get involved in them, Murph will be running some eliminators as well.
It's amazing how everybody pulls together, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, nice. People can do it for a bloody laptop. They can do it for this. This is a much more worthy cause. Sorry, that's just mine. There you go.
Preach it, Jack. Preach it.
Nick has no opinion on this.
Right, let's have a little look then. This week's winner on game day finishes with 220.88 points. Tyreek Hill was his captain. I also had the same captain. It's somewhat limited by going off. Was it the second quarter or third quarter? Yeah. He did come back on, I think, but didn't score massively after that. But neither did the Dolphins. Trevor Lawrence at quarterback with Calvin Ridley. I don't know why I've put Ridley in the running back position there. But Do you know what? I did this literally just before coming on the show. So that's me being underprepared.
So you're Jameer, slacking. That's what you're telling us.
It was slacking. Jameer Gibbs, Tony Pollard, Puka Nacua, Tank Dell, who I'm sure would have been chalky, certainly on this. Trey McBride was his tight end. So again, probably chalky there as well. Thoughts on the lineup, fellas?
I really like it. The obviously Trevor Lawrence was the highest scoring quarterback on the week, fantasy wise. I think the Ridley play is genius. I got to some Ridley myself last week. I liked him in that matchup because Zay Jones was back, and every time Zay Jones has been back, Christian Kirk has been a non-factor, and Ridley gets open because he doesn't get double teamed and things like that. So I really like the stack with Ridley there. Again, I think that's pretty genius on this guy's part. So I like that. Tyreek Hill is a great captain choice anyway. He can nuke at any point. We know that. Great matchup against the Raiders. Tony Pollard, I locked into 100% of my lineups last week. The Panthers are awful against running backs. They give up so many touchdowns to running backs. Luckily, he found the box this week, but it still wasn't pretty. But still again, the theory was right. He obviously lucked out a bit with Puka there because Cup went down injured, didn't he? And, not saying that Puka couldn't have had a good day with Cup in the lineup as well. He most certainly could have. But, that it helps when the alpha wide receiver goes down and Puka gets more looks. I like the mini game stack there with Tank Dell and Trey McBride. Tank Dell nuked. That guy is... I enjoy watching him. He's one of the football players I do really enjoy watching, Tank Dell. I think he had some balls playing Jamal Gibbs in this lineup. The Bears have been pretty good against running backs in the last few weeks. I actually think they've been number one in the league in the last few weeks against running backs. So the guys, he's had some balls to play that in a committee backfield, but fair play, it come off. I really like the lineup. I think it's a good lineup all round.
Yeah, not much else to add, really. I mean, it's pretty chalky apart from, Lawrence and Ridley is what makes it stand out. We're assuming it's chalky. We don't get the ownership figures. They really need to start giving us that. Like everything about it. Like you say, the Tony Pollard thing was just, I was so gutted when he made it into the end zone and stuff. in the end, it didn't impact on me in any way at all, so I shouldn't have been gutted. But like I was, Yeah, we'll see.
I think that's 17 touchdowns on the year that the Panthers have given up to running backs.
Yeah, but Pollard still had to work for his pretty hard.
Yes, he wasn't great.
Yeah, no, it's a really great lineup. The fact that Trey McBride, probably one of the chalkier pieces as well, was the lowest scorer as well as like, he only really had one failed score, didn't he, really, with the Trey McBride, which is good, really good.
Yeah. The thing with Nacua as well, like you said, Jackie, was he did get the benefit of Cup going off because I think statistically he is targeted less when Cup's on the field, as you would expect. That's quite a good pivot because Cup's price was actually less this week. I think he was 5,400. So much so that I'd said to you guys in the chat, I was like, it's almost like an insult this for Cup, like Stafford's back. Coming off the bye, they're probably quite healthy. Now he does get fortunate with the injury, but I've no doubt that price probably had quite a few people flocking to Cooper Kupp, whereas he's pivoted off and gone to Puka Nacua, who's put up a pretty respectable score there, probably for his price, which I've no doubt he was in the fours, so he's kind of return value there on that. The Gibbs play, like you said, Jack, ballsy. I had him in one of my DraftKings lineups. I actually felt like you could have played both of those this week. But it's one of them kind of situations where a committee backfield and you just don't really like it in DFS. Is the way that they're scoring sustainable? I feel like it isn't. We'll see on that, I guess. And yeah, I like everything else. I quite like Pollard. I think when we talk about recency bias in the past, but unless the matchup is A1, I just don't think I'll be playing.
It's what I put in our group. He is Joe Mixon. You need him to get in the end zone. If he doesn't get in the end zone, he fails big time.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that on a slate coming soon, Tank Dell will be priced enough where people consider whether or not to put him in the lineup. And I don't think that time is far away at all. I'm sure he'll be one of the top price receivers soon if he keeps putting up the numbers that he is. But yeah, good, pretty good lineup and some correlation in there. No concerns. Yeah, quite like that. Jack, promotions, newsletters, any other business?
No, you can find me on the Twitter at Jack Humphrey DFS. Like I said, shout out to Matt, and please, if you can, even if it's a fiver, if you can donate anything, it all helps into the GoFundMe page. And watch the space for the DraftKings tournament that I set up.
And even if you can't, just go and share that tweet, because you might share it to someone that can, and you've at least done something then. For Fantasy Game Day, Jack, we have a...
So our promo code is TDS4D, and that will get you a free entry after your initial deposit and entry into one of their games. And there's a Thanksgiving slate this week.
Yeah. Well, that promoted, I mean, we promote it, but we've also got other Twitter users promoting our own promo
code. Yeah.
We had a little tweet last week where that was used in someone else's tweet. So thanks for that. Cheers. You get absolutely nothing, but there you go. Mark?
Yeah, I've got nothing to add.
Cool. Well, that rounds us off. I will not be on next Tuesday. You guys are gonna have to hold the fort for a week, because I will be away from home till the end of the week. So
fair enough.
Are you both okay?
There might not be a graphic.
All right, you fly the flag.
We still want the graphic made, by the way, so you're gonna have to send it over. And you know what's coming in the WhatsApp group right now, don't you?
Is it acceptable if I write it on like a beer mat or a receipt or something and take a picture and send it that way?
I'll allow it.
Cool. Right. There we go. I'll see if I can make that happen. But I will see you a week on Tuesday. You guys will see everyone next Tuesday.